O morning star, how fair and bright. You shine with God's own truth and light, aglow with grace and mercy. Now that's an epiphany song. That is a song that is wrapped up with an awesome tune and superior lyrics. In fact, I would suggest that this is so doctrinally rich and doctrinally pure, and it's so Christ-centered that it even takes the very star that led the wise man to the baby Jesus and apply that very star to Jesus, the morning star. It seems to me as if it's the perfect hymn. Or is it? There is that one little mistake that appears in the midst of it. Did you hear it? Oh, the words are there in the first stanza. It says the words of Jacob's race, David's son, our Lord and Master, you have won our hearts to serve you only. Lowly, holy, great and glorious, all victorious, rich in blessing, rule and might o'er all possessing. Did you hear it? Those words, you have won our hearts to serve you only. Yeah, right. Oh, yeah, on paper we'll say, absolutely, you have won our hearts, Lord, to serve you only. But in reality, is it something that we actually do? Do you live your lives to serve God only, or do you have other things in mind? Perhaps you're just a little bit like the Apostle Paul. For I do not understand my own actions, for I do not do the good I want to do, the very things I hate, this that I do. For I do not do the good I want, but the evil that I do not want to do, this I keep on doing. Does that sound like a heart that serves God only? It sounds to me like it's a heart that's conflicted with God and struggles with the very will of God. So the question for us tonight is, who do you want to believe? The Apostle Paul or Philippe Nicolai, the one who wrote that beautiful hymn? Well, of course, they're both right. You see, as a baptized child of God, you have been washed. You have been given a heart transplant. That flesh, that heart of stone has been removed and implanted with the heart of flesh. But yet, according to Romans chapter 7, your sinful will that dwells within you resists. In fact, you fail. In fact, we call that sin because you fall short of the glory of God. And in the end, you cry out with the Apostle Paul, oh, what a wretched man I am. Who will rescue me from this body of death? Oh, but wait a minute here. We're good Lutherans, right? Yeah, we know that we're saved by grace through faith apart from the works of the law. But how often when you look in the mirror of God's law and realize the depth of your sin, don't sometimes step over the line and begin to do some contributing good works in order to merit some sort of salvation. And in doing so, you fall right back under the law because it's no longer by grace through faith. It becomes a work that you try to earn. Well, here's the kicker. When do you know when you've done enough? Perhaps you're one good work short of eternal life. And then what do? You'll get to the pearly gates and says, oh, you're one short, you can't come in. There's always doubt. There's always a sense of despair. But you see, it affects each and every one of us here this evening. See, one of the greatest battles of the Christian life is the war that exists not on the outside, but within our own hearts. You have learned the Ten Commandments. You shall have no other gods. Remember the seventh day and keep it holy as three. I skip two, which would be, you shall not misuse the name of the Lord your God. You know the commandments, and how do you do with keeping them? Is God's will good for you? Quite frankly, we want to do God's will. We want to live a perfect and righteous life in His sight, not falling short of His glory, but living within it. But what happens when we don't? You see, confirmands, you want to know the law, it's simply this. We like to be Frank Sinatra. We like to do it our way. When it comes to God's will, you know that thou shalt not eat of the fruit in the midst of the garden? We say, let's see what it tastes like first, and I'll tell you whether or not I'll eat it or not, Lord. But even as redeemed children of God, we continue to resist the will of God in our everyday lives. Let me put it a different way. The old Adam that dwells within you, you're supposed to arise, as Luther said, and drown every single day. That old Adam wants to drive the love of the Father entirely out of your life. He would like nothing else than to destroy your faith in Christ entirely and completely. He wants to divide you. He wants you to be so conflicted whether God loves me or not that you'll simply give up. He wants that little voice in the back of your mind to say, if God knows all things, what does He think about me? To be honest, the words of the Apostle Paul, he penned to the church in Rome, can lead us to that exact question. He kept writing on and on and on. That I don't want to do, this I keep on doing, what a wretched. He lays all that out there. And if you stop too soon in reading a Romans chapter 7, you're going to get to the point you think, there is no hope for me at all. For Paul wrote, for I do not do the good I want, but the evil I do not want is what I keep on doing. Now, if I do what I do not want, it is no longer I who do it, but sin that dwells within me. Here's the question. Do you personally struggle with sin? You don't have to answer that. I can answer it for you. Absolutely. In the same way that I do, we have no peace. But the question is, what do we do? I've heard people say, you just got to try harder. You need to pull yourself up by your bootstraps. Some even say, I hate adjectives when it comes to the Christian faith. If you truly believe, if you sincerely believe, and then you'll overcome your sinful desires and you will live a holy and righteous sight and a victorious life in Christ. Well, that doesn't fit very well with what the Apostle Paul said. The Apostle Paul, the guy that penned the majority of the New Testament, said, the stuff I want to do, that I don't do, but the things I don't want to do, that I keep on doing. I don't understand that sin living in me. What a wretched man I am. Who will rescue me from this body of death? So is there a way out? Is there any hope? Oh, maybe we should allow the Apostle Paul to finish, because the very last words are, thanks be to God through Jesus Christ our Lord. Is there a way out? Absolutely. Thanks be to God through Jesus Christ our Lord. Our hymn writer said this, Almighty Father, in your Son, you loved us when not yet begun was this old earth's foundation. Your Son has ransomed us in love to live in Him here and above. This is your great salvation. Alleluia. Christ the living, to us giving life forever. Keep us yours and fail us never. God's self-revelation on this epiphany celebration is the fact that we see the face of God in the face of Jesus Christ. Jesus Christ, the light of the world that shatters the darkness of the world that surrounds us and engulfs us and makes us doubt and despair. Jesus Christ shatters and chases away the darkness to reveal the very face of God in your presence. Therefore, you need not be afraid of the law. Although the law is there to condemn and to restrain, it no longer threatens you. Because the reality is that the old adversary can no longer accuse you. Because it's like a dog that the teeth have been taken away and it's been tethered to a post. And I can stand outside that worn circle and go na 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 all day long, because I know in Christ that the law has no power over me. He has taken the guilt of your sin, and the verdict for you is not guilty. And when God looks at you, He sees the perfection of His Son, Jesus Christ. There may be those around you that think that's pretty laughable. Him, her, perfect in God's sight. Yeah, right. But that's who God sees in you. Amidst all your doubt, amidst all your despair, amidst all your desire to do good works to somehow merit God's forgiveness, He just continues to shower His love upon you to point you to the cross where Jesus Christ suffered and died, my confirmands, to redeem you, to buy you back from sin and death, not with gold or silver, but with His holy, innocent, and precious blood. Wow. Lord, when you look on us in love, at once there falls from God above a ray of purest pleasure. Your word and spirit, flesh and blood, refresh our souls with heavenly flood. You are our dearest treasure. Let your mercy warm and cheer us. Oh, draw near us. For you teach us God's own love through you has reached us. So the word of God is absolute. The Word of God is certainly comfort to you and to me. This evening, as we celebrate the epiphany of our Lord, the revealing of Christ to the nations, and to realize that Jesus didn't only come in the world to save those who are part of the family of Abraham by blood, He came in the world to save sinners like you and me. Gentiles, outcasts, shepherds. The reality is that we can thank God through Jesus Christ our Lord, because through Him our sins are forgiven. As you leave this place tonight, you leave into a world of darkness. But the light of Christ dwells in you. Happy Epiphany. In the name of the Father, the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. We rise and sing the Magnificat. It's found on page 248 in your hymnal. Page 248.